COVID-19 has robbed us of our congregation and of our music. It is very uncommon to have a solemn Palm Sunday. Our sermon comes from the archive of the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church, when he gave this back in 1997. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We've been talking the last several Sundays about Jesus' audience, the various crowds and multitudes which heard Jesus' preaching and teaching and witnessed his miracles, and by turns cheered for him and argued with him. Palm Sunday is the day on which the crowd's behavior stands out most dramatically. As we look at how the crowd acted throughout the first Holy Week, we need to remind ourselves that the crowd in the Gospel stands for us. We are the faces in that crowd. On Palm Sunday itself, the crowd was rather hysterically favorable towards Jesus. People had come from all over the Mediterranean world to celebrate the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jews. The holiday mood was heightened by rumors that the Messiah, the long-expected Savior, was about to make his identity public. The crowd's hopes for a Messiah were pinned upon a wandering rabbi from Galilee named Jesus. He had performed all the right miracles, and he had seemed to have made all the right enemies. Passover would be the perfect time for him to do what the crowd knew the Messiah would do: issue a call to arms, raise an army, and wage a guerrilla war against the Romans, war which would restore Israel to control of her own political destiny and take the Holy Land away from the unclean Gentiles. Everything Jesus did that day encouraged the crowd. There was a prophecy in the Old Testament book of Zechariah which said that when the rightful king of the Jews appeared in his capital city, he would ride a donkey. Jesus acted out the fulfillment of that prophecy quite consciously and purposefully. The multitude which saw him riding the donkey knew their Bibles well enough to conclude, "He is the one we've been waiting for." They showed their enthusiasm by laying down both clothing and branches of trees in his path. They shouted his name and praised him, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The crowd had no questions at all about who Jesus was or about what he was going to do. We fast forward to Good Friday, just 5 days later. In the intervening time, Jesus has done none of the things the crowd anticipated on Sunday. No speeches to rouse the rabble, no recruitment of soldiers, no denunciations of the Romans or their pawn, King Herod. But in that same meantime, Jesus' mortal enemies had been quite active. They had failed to get him to behave. They had failed to defeat him in debate. So they had bribed one of his friends to tell them where they could arrest him without antagonizing the crowd. By Friday morning, his friend was a suicide. Jesus had been convicted of blasphemy by a Jewish court, and now he faced the nervous Roman governor who was investigating the possibility of charging Jesus with insurrection. The governor always let some Jewish prisoner go at Passover, so he hoped the crowd would ask him to release Jesus. But the Jewish leaders played upon the dashed hopes and disappointments of the crowd and persuaded them to ask for the release of another prisoner named Barabbas. When Pilate turned to the crowd again and asked them what he should do with Jesus, they replied, "Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. His blood be upon us and our children." The crowd who had acclaimed him as the second coming of King David on Sunday ratified his death sentence on Friday. After some whipping and spitting and a burlesque coronation, Jesus was finally nailed to a cross and left to suffocate and bleed and die of exposure. Now the crowd was not satisfied. They shook their heads as they looked at him and said, "You said you'd destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, and you can't even save yourself. You said you were the Son of God. What good is that if you can't even get off that cross?" Finally, as Jesus was about to die, he uttered the cry which reminds us that the very most worst experience we can have is not physical suffering or even death itself, but instead the absolute certainty that God is not listening. Jesus screamed out the first words of the 22nd Psalm, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In his language, the words, "My God," sound like Eli or Eli. The crowd concluded that Jesus was calling for the prophet Elijah to come back from heaven to save them. That contemptuous misunderstanding forms the very last thing the crowd says, except that after Jesus sucks some moisture from a sponge, someone says, "That's enough. Let's wait and see if Elijah will come save them." So, on Palm Sunday and Good Friday, the crowd displays many of the less attractive human attitudes and reactions and emotions. The crowd becomes overly enthusiastic and excited in a foolish way. They lash out like spoiled children when they don't get exactly what they want, and they lapse into cruel and bitter self-regarding indifference and mockery to salve their disappointment. We are the faces in that crowd. Jesus died to forgive the crowd. His blood is upon us and all our children. And for that, we thank God. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.